It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown! Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam! Waits for the snap into place, there it is, the kick is up, the kick is good!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much, and welcome in to the show, everybody. We are now less than 24 hours away from the kickoff of the 2025 season for the Auburn Tigers as they take on the Baylor Bears coming up tomorrow night in Waco, Texas. Should be exciting tonight. We got a great show for you, and hope you'll stay with us for that all hour long. Kevin Fichtner will be with us in just a little bit to talk about his take on the game. Also, Coach Fred Riley will give us the X and O's tonight of the ball game. We'll visit with Coach Riley a little bit. And former Fairhope teammates Brian Brinsfield and Dave Fulford with us in the second half hour of the show tonight. And, of course, Brian went on to play at Auburn and win the national championship in 1993. We'll visit with all of those characters here tonight on the show. Glad you're with us on Tiger Talk Overtime this evening. And let's kick it off with some comments from the head coach, Hugh Freeze, on the Baylor Bears. And that ball game, of course, as we said, coming up in less than 24 hours.
I think I need to quit watching tape because the more I watch, the better they get in my mind. And, you know, I know they're a really good team. But that does create in you some man, let's go find out. And so I guess that is anxiousness. It's but I'm full of excitement with of this team. I've been around enough to know when you have enough talent to win games, and we do, and we're not going to run from that. We're excited about it, and now we've got to go prove that. And I don't know what the results will be on any given game because, as you know, there's a lot of teams that can beat you on a given night if you don't play very well.
Okay, let's welcome into the show my good friend, Kevin Fichtner, Mr. Auburn, as we call him. Kevin, great to have you on the show tonight, and I know you are excited and looking forward to tomorrow night, Friday night, in Waco, Texas, as the Tigers open the season.
Yes, we have finally made it. All the hype, all the pre-this, all the pre-that, all the injuries, all the substitutions, all the depth charts. We're finally made it. We finally made it. National TV, Friday night. I don't have soccer this weekend, so I'm going to be locked in, glued, on Friday night watching that game. The big question is, will those that have YouTube TV be able to watch it? Because there's a big thing going on right now. I think the contract has to be fixed or set by today in order for YouTube TV viewers to come to watch that game on Fox. So I'm good to go. I got DirecTV. I had that issue last year, but I'm good to go now, and I'll be able to watch it on Fox, and looking forward to Friday night and see what our Tigers can do.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but I have YouTube TV, so we'll have to check that out. But
yeah, you can always come join me. I got room in my house.
There you go. The good news is, I guess, from what I'm hearing, is that Auburn fans, and I'm a little surprised that you're not in Waco by now, but Auburn fans are buying up the tickets there, maybe 15,000 in Texas in a 45,000-seat stadium. So there's going to be a huge Auburn presence there.
Yeah, I was reading about that. This stadium is not much bigger than Vanderbilt. So it's, I was thinking it was bigger than that. But yes, there will be a great contingent of orange and blue in the crowd. They'll have their fans, obviously, and they'll be rowdy, I guess, but you can be in their little small sections. But yes, we will travel well, and hopefully we'll be able to celebrate and make noise and cheer our Tigers on, give them something they need to make it not so much of a road game, to hear some of their home crowd, you know, backing them up after good plays and touchdowns.
Yeah, hopefully the first roll of the season at Toomer's Corner Friday night. Looking forward to that. And tell me a little bit, Kevin, about what you're feeling going into this ball game, the first ball game, a Friday night game, a little different. We've talked about it a little bit in the preseason, but people really don't know what Auburn is going to do. Are they going to come out hot? Are they going to throw to these receivers? Is Jackson going to be on target early? Is it going to take a little while? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, generally with these first games, there's going to be some nervousness. There's going to be some overthrown balls, maybe some false starts. But I think it's going to be great for Auburn to play someone other than themselves. Like, they'll be able to hit somebody other than themselves. And I'm looking forward to seeing this defense. You know, the defense can hopefully set the tone for the offense. And we have the best wide receivers in the country, the best wide receiver room. I'm ready to see these guys shine. Now, obviously, we have to run ground and pound to establish, you know, a little play action maybe, some sweeps to get that pass game open. But we have so many guys on offense receiver-wise, you can't double them. Or if you double Cam, somebody, Singleton's going to be open. Or if you double Singleton, Cam's going to be one-on-one, or Perry Thompson. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Jackson Arnold can do in this new system. He's been here for a while. Coach Hugh Freeze knows that this is a big year for him. The fans have been on him. He's been playing a lot of golf. Let's make this happen, man. We're looking forward to seeing if Auburn can beat Auburn and get us back to, you know, where we want to be. We don't have to go to the playoff. We just want to go to a good bowl game, you know. But it starts with game one on national TV Friday night. Come on, boys. Let's put up 40 and show Baylor who we are. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got off to a little bit of a slow start in Hugh Freeze's era. But I'm looking forward to being in the mix for that 12 this year. I think that would be where Auburn needs to be. And you're right. They need to be sharp. And we talked a little bit before the show tonight about Jackson Arnold's new deal. Crazy times in NIL. And that was one of the stories that came out this week, that he is the ambassador for Dude Wipes. Which,
that is correct.
I don't know how you mix that into Toomer's Corner, but maybe somehow.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix had Milo Sweet Tea, and Jackson Arnold's got Dude Wipes. So whatever you can do to get your money, to get your NIL, this is the world we're living in now, whether it's Dude Wipes or anything else. But all I know is, if he does lay an egg Friday night, the internet people, his friends, his family are going to be getting roasted by him, or – you know, because of him, for all the Dude Wipe stuff. Because, you know, like we said, hopefully he won't get in the huddle and take a look at a blitz that he may not recognize and need one of those Dude Wipes to check himself. But, you know, that's the life that we're living in right now with the NIL stuff. But I wish him all the best, and go Dude Wipes.
You almost said all the wet, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right. Everybody's talking about the offense and Jackson Arnold, but like you mentioned, I think the key to this ball game is Auburn's defense, and can Baylor move the ball on us? I think we'll be much improved on defense, even better than we were at the end of last year, a little better up front. The linebackers are kind of young. We have some competition, even with guys like Riddick back there. Maybe that's to keep everybody involved, but interesting depth chart this week. The cornerbacks and the safeties, I think, are going to be okay. So that, to me, is the key to the ball game. Can Baylor, can they move the ball on us and score, even at home?
That is correct. When you're on the road, you have to rely on stops. You have to rely on your defense. And if your defense can get you a couple three and outs early, you get up 7-0, 10-0. That is huge. At that point, they can, you know, pull their ears back and start blitzing maybe. But, yes, building off the momentum from last year, I think we have more depth on defense now. I think our backs and safeties, corners are really strong. The linebackers, Riddick, man, I can't wait to see him go wild on Friday night. If we can get some good D-line pressure, push that Baylor O-line back, we can cause some, you know, we can cause some stuff to go our way, maybe get a fumble, a tip pass. It's all about keeping that crowd quiet and not letting them get involved in the game, and then having them punt three and out, whatever it might be, and letting our offense be calm, take over, get some ground and pound, and then open up that play action or open up some one-on-one coverage, just take that deep shot, take the top off their defense.
Yeah, get that big play. That'll be key. And looking forward to seeing Woodyard at linebacker tomorrow night from Mobile. He apparently is going to start at the Mike linebacker, so we'll be looking out for that. A little bit of basketball news this week, as it was announced that Auburn will play in Atlanta again against Chattanooga. So I guess we ran off the Big Ten guys, right?
Yeah, I saw that C when I first saw the post yesterday. I was thinking, oh, UConn, but no, not UConn. We got Chattanooga. I guess the Big Ten is tired of us wearing them out. We beat Indiana. We beat Ohio State, not by 5 or 10. We're talking 20 points or more, both those guys. So I guess the Big Ten has had enough of the Blue Bloods beating them down, the Blue Blood Auburn beating them down. And so we got Chattanooga in Atlanta. That'll be great for our fans. A short trip that the ones that can't make it here to Neville and can't get a ticket, they'll be able to go to Atlanta and watch our Tigers play against Chattanooga.
Yeah, fun place to watch a basketball game over there. A little different environment, an NBA environment. So anyway, basketball coming up. Been following the videos there as they put them out on X or Facebook or wherever. But looking forward to football tomorrow night. Basketball coming up in a few weeks, of course. And, Kevin, we want to talk about our brand-new sponsor a little bit tonight on the show, on the radio version of the show, and that's Big Mike's Steakhouse. I had the chance to go to Big Mike's this week and have a New York strip. Baked potato was fantastic. The home salad, the house salad, and Mike's salad, and the Bavarian bread with the cinnamon. Whew, I mean, that was outstanding. I know you've been to the one on Shug Jordan Parkway there in Auburn.
We have. My family and I love that place. It's a great environment. There's TVs. There's good music. You have your own little table. It's kind of, you know, wide open, but kind of tight as well. The food is fantastic. My kids love their steak. We love their steak. We love their sides. They have good desserts. It's a great place. If you want a good steak in Auburn, that's the place to go to. I would recommend. There's always others, but Big Mike Steakhouse is a great place. We love it.
Yeah, and they have the Big Mike's ribeye, which is, we were talking, was 24 ounces. I hadn't tried that yet. They also have the Shug Jordan strip and filet mignon. You said maybe your wife likes, so a lot of different choices there. And great food. They've got sandwiches and sides and dips and soups and everything there.
They do, yeah. And I wonder, do you get your picture on the wall if you eat that 24-ounce steak? Or not.
You should. I was thinking you could take your family there and just split it up, right?
Yeah, get one and split it up between the rest of us. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But like I said, it's a great environment. It's a great restaurant. They have good owners, and it's always been friendly there and happy, and it's just a good time. Like I said, they have multiple TVs up, so you can kind of watch a game or two while you're eating and enjoying company. So it's a good spot. Right.
Well, go by and see him. Big Mike's Steakhouse right there on Shug Jordan Parkway and Wire Road in Auburn. They have locations all across the state. Even if you're heading to Tuscaloosa, Thomasville, Moundville, on the Gulf Coast, two new locations coming soon in Bay Minette and Sims. And, of course, they already have one in Orange Beach. I think we've both been there. So,
yes.
Kevin, good to talk to you. It's going to be exciting tomorrow night. Hopefully we'll get the game worked out on YouTube TV. If not, I'll be over at your house.
Come on. I got a spot for you on my couch and a couple other things ready for you, too. So we'll be ready to watch it.
Sounds interesting. Kevin Fichtner from the Plains. And when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime, we'll visit with Coach Fred Riley and get his take on what the Tigers need to do to take on and beat Baylor tomorrow night. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Time to get a little bit further into Auburn and Baylor coming up this weekend. And we want to welcome into the show Coach Fred Riley. Coach, great to have you with us to talk a little X and O tonight about the game coming up tomorrow night, Auburn and Baylor. The Tigers, it looks like, will be favored heading into this ball game by a couple of points, maybe 2.5. What are you thinking about this week from a coach's perspective? What is Auburn thinking about? The hay is pretty much in the barn now, but what have they been doing this week to get things, their P's and Q's ready for Friday night?
Well, I think the and Friday, of course, being a little different in terms of preparation as opposed to Saturday. But, you know, game week rhythm, game week routine is different than camp, different than any other time of year. And getting into that rhythm of meetings and practice schedules and cutting practice down to fit the schedule of, and game preparation week, game planning, and not just working on installation and running plays, et cetera, what kind of checks you're going to have, what you expect from your opponent, and then of course having all the what ifs covered. I mean, substitutions, you know, you have to practice substituting. It's one of those things that sort of gets overlooked. You got to practice running your kicking team on the field, and you know, your punt team on the field, and getting everybody off. And you got to practice, you know, putting a team on the field and so-and-so's down, you know, and you got to get the backup in there. Those are things like that you know, if you're not careful, that it sneaks up on you and you hadn't got it handled. And I'm sure they spent some time, you know, working on that also.
Yeah, one big mistake can make a big difference in a game that's a 2.5-point ball game, at least in Las Vegas. A drop punt, a missed tackle on a kick return, or
12 on the field when you stopped them, or you know, that kind of thing. I mean, give them another possession, no question.
Yep. We talked a little bit about the quarterbacks last week. Jackson Arnold heading into his first start for the Auburn Tigers. What do you expect coming out of the gate? First series, second series. What is Hugh Freeze thinking to protect his quarterback, but at the same time to give him a chance to hit some of these receivers that we've talked so much about?
You know, we've talked about this before. I mean, I played quarterback my whole life. I coached quarterbacks my whole life, you know, and getting quarterbacks, giving them some what we would refer to as no-brainers early in the game. Catch the ball, throw the ball to here. Wide receiver screens, hitch routes, swing the ball to the back with a running type of screen where he starts out the game 6-for-6 or 7-for-7 or 8-for-8 and feels good about himself. And they make you make a few first downs that way without having to do anything really special, just work within the system. And also, I think, especially early in the game, on if you get in a third and long, you know, you just don't – it's okay to punt. You know, run a draw, you know, hand the ball off to somebody. He may break it and run off with it, but it's okay to punt. Don't do anything early that, that causes you a possession or causes you field position, and let the game sort of come to him a little bit. And I think they'll do a good job with him with that.
We were talking a little bit during the break about Auburn's depth situation. And the depth chart came out on Monday of this week, and you can see at every position that Auburn has at least two deep now, and some probably three deep, but they have the or in there, right, between players where this guy could go or this guy could go. There's not a lot of difference you would gather from reading that depth chart. So even a couple of things that surprised me on the depth chart: Riddick on defense is having a little competition there at linebacker. Mm-hmm. Right. And also Horatio Fields, we talked about that one, seems to be number one or number two on the depth chart with Perry Thompson there, but he seems like a guy who's going to make a difference in this Auburn offense.
You know, when you've got, you know, six guys listed in the oars, for instance, at wide receiver, if all those guys can play and all those guys can be interchangeable, and you know, a lot of times it's really not consequential other than to make you feel good about being the guy that's on the field for the first play. You know, I mean, the guys who are the oar guys may play more than the guys that are listed, quote, first in that stuff. So as it plays out, who, we don't know who our quarterback feels good about. You know, who does he have a connection with that he knows he can throw the ball to a spot and Horatio is going to show up or Perry's going to show up, whomever that person is. It's going to be interesting to see where he migrates to and what player he migrates to at the wide receiver position. But just the fact that we've got oars everywhere that you want to have oars is good. I mean, you're too deep in every position and even a fifth guy mentioned in some spots that, you know, that, which also is going to make your special teams better. I mean, cause those oar guys covering kicks for you and on kickoff return and that kind of stuff. And those teams will be better the more of those guys that you have, and looking for really great improvement in the kicking game this year.
The head coach for the Bears, Dave Aranda, he's been around the block a little bit, defensive coordinator at LSU and other places as well. But he has a reputation of, trying to confuse, which most defensive coordinators do. But he could take some chances, or he can kind of bluff you and back off.
Right.
What do you expect from him, and how do you expect Jackson will handle that? He has a little bit of experience at this level at Oklahoma, but right. a little bit different in the SEC, maybe.
Sure. I mean, Dave Aranda is going to do what Dave Aranda does, and that's show pressure and bail, show pressure from one side, bail out, bring it from the other. He's going to check out your pass protection schemes quickly and find out if you're sound in those schemes. He's going to find out what your hots are, where's your quarterback going to get rid of the ball when there's an extra man attacking the protection. Is the quarterback solid in recognizing that and getting it out of there? You know, about the only thing worse than getting a punt blocked or a kick returned back for a touchdown against you is getting sacked. I mean, you know, and you know, that back in the day, Coach Moore, who coached Peyton Manning back in the day, you know, his belief is all, and Hal Mumme also believed this, along with Leach, that if the quarterback is sacked, it's his fault. That the ball ought to come out on your third step, period. And don't stand back there and pat it. Don't try to make something happen. You know, pre-snap, you ought to have a pretty good idea where you're going with the football, and get the thing out of there, because an incompletion is just so much better than a sack. And most times, if you stand back there and pat it more than a couple of times, bad things are about to happen, because you're either going to get pressured, you're going to get sacked, or you're going to throw it somewhere where it don't not need to go. And so he's going to check us out and find out how we handle those things. And the best way to handle that stuff is run the ball. I mean, you run the ball into pressure and all of a sudden break one and they're in cover zero chasing the wide outs and you hit your head on the goal post. And that runs people out of that stuff if you can run the ball against it. So I'm sure we'll try to establish the run early in the game too.
Yeah, you stole my thought there. I was just thinking that in game one, a lot of people are talking about Auburn being one of the more unpredictable teams heading into the 25 season. You know, will they go the same route as they did the first 2 years? Will they be improved? Can they challenge for the 12-team playoff? I think all of that is in the mix and up for grabs here, but what do you see in this ball game? My gut feeling is the defense is going to play pretty well, like they did last year. And you mentioned the run. Does Hugh Freeze go to the run in this ball game, or is that something that is just not what Hugh Freeze wants to do with the way he's recruited all these receivers?
Well, I think again, when you can run the football, then now you're going to get one-on-one matchups on outside. You force people into one high safety as opposed to two And it makes everything, my son and I were looking at something the other day and on a pass route, he said, how do you stop this? And I said, well, they're running it against cover three. Everything's good against cover three. You know, and if you can force them into cover three or man free 1 hour, then your throwing game's just going to be that much better. But if somebody can stay two high safeties against you and you outnumber them in the box and you still can't run the football against them, I mean, there's not many answers for that. And it ends up being a nightmare for your quarterback. So got to establish the run. You know, who likes to run a trick play here and there? I wouldn't be, who, you know, what's the Bobby Bowden thing used to be? Run your trick play before they run theirs. I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we run one early. And because you've had all summer to work on it, you know, so why not throw it out there pretty quick? So I'd be excited to see if that happens.
Yeah. And the other thing I think of in reading and watching this week is the stadium is not overwhelmingly big at Baylor. It's not going to be intimidating for Auburn, obviously. And I think 45,000 seats down there. And the Auburn fans at last check had bought about 15,000 of those tickets. So that's going to be interesting to see what kind of effect that has on Auburn, what kind of effect the Auburn fans have on Baylor.
Right. And I think, you know, I mean, you as an Auburn person and playing Baylor, and Baylor has had, RG3, Baylor has had some good football teams. But at the end of the day, we expect to beat Baylor's. I mean, we just do. And we'd be very disappointed if we don't go in there. And I mean, we will play in much more hostile environments against much better teams down the stretch. And we need to go in there and play physical and get after them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch and see what happens this weekend at Baylor in Waco, the Auburn Tigers and the Baylor Bears. Visiting for a minute here tonight with Coach Fred Riley. And, Coach, appreciate you, as always, being with us. A number of big games across the country this weekend as college football really opens. Any thoughts on some of those battles that we're going to see Saturday?
Texas and Ohio State is going to be pretty fun. I mean, how ill has Ohio State got to be defending national champions, and they're not, and Texas is ranked higher than them coming into the next season. But you get to play them the first game at home. So, that will be a lot of future professional football players playing in that football game.
Yeah.
I'm sort of interested in the Alabama Florida State from the Gus Malzahn Kane Womack, where they coached against each other in high school and have spent time together at Arkansas. And, you know, so how, what does Gus do with a Florida State team? Does it look like an old Gus offense, or is he going to Florida State and going more pro style? Be interesting to see and how well Alabama plays over there. And, you know, they caught a break. I mean, with the weather, it's going to be a little cooler than everybody thought. So, you know, mid 80s in Tallahassee at 3:30 Eastern time, as opposed to almost 100 degrees, which it could have been. That would have been brutal.
Yeah.
That game has some intrigue about it, no question.
Yeah. Do you think that's interesting? Because what you said about Gus, kind of, I thought his downfall at Auburn, of course, he had Cam Newton there as the coordinator and ran the read option, but kind of went away from that as a head coach. And that's kind of when things started to stutter a little bit at Auburn. So
you're right. I mean, you go Cam Newton to Nick Marshall to becoming a passing team.
Yeah.
But the people around your quarterback, they weren't recruited to do that, you know, and that's not what they learn and what they knew. And again, it puts guys that run systems usually prevail. You just stick to your system and not start grabbing around and just running plays. And you can tell when somebody's just running plays. It don't take long to figure it out. I mean, there's something what were they doing right there? It's because you can tell they haven't set anything up, run this to come back and do that. Guys that have systems, you know, try to get one step ahead of you. And if they can, then they're pretty good. And Gus for years was really, really good.
All right, Coach Fred Riley on the game tomorrow night when we come back to Horizon Financial Halftime Report. We'll visit with Brian Brinsfield and Dave Fulford. Stay with us. Back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by our friends at Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Joining us on the line now, Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, national champion. Brian, great to have you with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, War Eagle.
We've got a special friend of yours who was unfortunate to play with you at Fairhope High School, right?
Yeah. Dave is this is Dave Fulford. Dave is one of my teammates from Fairhope, and Dave is the reason I wore number 62 at Auburn. I wanted 56. Another Fairhope graduate who played with me at Auburn, Daryl Crawford, was already there at Auburn and wearing 56, and Daryl was bigger than I was, so he said, "You can't have it." And I said, "Yes, sir." But 62 was available, and I, you know, growing up on the Eastern Shore, we only had one high school at the time. But we had different middle schools. So Dave and I played against each other. Dave was at Fairhope Middle, and I was at Daphne Middle, and I was a quarterback back then. And Dave used to hate on me, but I grew up admiring and still do admire this man. And he was the reason I chose 62 to play at Auburn. But Dave's a coach at Fairhope, coaches the throwers at Fairhope for the track and field, and is probably one of my best friends, if not my best friend in the world. So huge Auburn fan, knows a lot more than I do. And I'm thankful that he's here and on the show with us.
I guess Dave's number was 62.
He was.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dave, welcome to the show, and great to have you with us to talk some Auburn football tonight.
Well, thank you, Doug. I've always heard you on the radio. Finally get to meet you in person and talk with you on the radio.
Yeah. We had breakfast for about 2.5 hours one day, I think.
That's right.
I tried to snake out of there about an hour in, but I was against the wall, so I had to sit the whole 2.5 hours.
I lost the feeling in my legs.
Yeah. And then I think I had to pay.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And that's a good part. But, let's talk about this ball game coming up tomorrow night a little bit. Of course, that's the main topic of conversation. And, Brian, I know you have some thoughts on this one. And I don't know what to think about Auburn heading into this season. As I said before, I think it's a must win for them to beat Baylor. I think the Auburn fans have bought a lot of tickets to this ball game, and it's not a huge stadium. I just can't figure out what Auburn is going to look like Friday night, a Friday night game, which is highly unusual as well.
Yeah, these games are weird, especially on the road. I tried to think back and to remember if we played anybody on the road the first ball game of the season, and I can't think in my 4 years if we ever did, because usually they were smaller schools, and we played, you know, a smaller school at home. I think my very first game was Georgia Southern at home at Jordan-Hare. But these games will sneak up on you. Baylor is not a bad team, and but on a Friday night, I think it's going to be just us in Colorado are kind of the two main TV games at 7 o'clock that night. But you know, offensively, you don't have any preseason games. So, this is where, if you're going to have them, you're going to have some offside penalties. You're going to have, some motion penalties. You're going to line up offsides. And that's always the, you know, as a coach too, that was always the frustrating part going into the early parts of the season, just everything you've got to do, attention to detail on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball is a little looser, It's going to be either good or bad. I think it's going to be, people have asked me, for the last couple of weeks, I think it's going to be a close ball game. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I hope not, but that's just my feeling. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter and maybe come down to special teams. Last week we talked about Coach Riley said he one of his guys he's going to be looking for is the place kicker. I said the punter because I don't want to get backed and down in the 20, go three and out, have a shank, and they end up with a starting on the 40 going in.
Right.
Special teams could have a huge impact in this ball game.
Dave, what do you think? I'm thinking the long snappers might have an effect too in this ball game.
I don't know about the long snappers, but I think maybe the Baylor secondary might be pressed to the limit here because they were suspect last year and they didn't do anything in the transfer portal to really boost the secondary. So if we can't take advantage of that, there's something going on there. I mean, all Jackson, we've never seen Jackson Arnold, but if he can just, grade out a B minus, maybe a B, just do something, not have nine turnovers and nine fumbles or 13 interceptions, and we should be able to handle the Baylor defense. We should be able to dominate, not dominate, but we should be able to get some success with they can't cover Singleton Jr. and Cam Coleman at the same time.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Speaking of the offense, and Brian talked about how you got to get everything, just right on the offense. You're trying to get it just right into that first game, probably more than the defense just running to the football. But if you could envision that first series for Auburn and script it out and say, I think this is what's going to happen. Do you see Auburn running the football? Do you see Hugh Freeze just throwing it to the receivers, or what do you see?
I think you got to lay down the new offensive linemen, the new tackles, and put some pads on pads, and let the two backs, Cobb and Austin, put some yards on the ground, get that third and short going, and really push on that defensive line. I think that's probably a mismatch because their defensive line's a lot lighter than what SEC D lines are typically. So I think the offensive line, give them their time and let them push some people around.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Brian? Can Hugh Freeze, can he accomplish that on offense, or does he just want to zing it around?
And that's the thing. Can Hugh Freeze get out of the way, right? Can he get out of his own way and say, okay, I'm not going to be Hugh Freeze for a second, and
how do you do that?
I don't know. It's really tough when
you let Derek Nix call the plays, apparently.
Yeah, it's really tough as a play caller to set your ego aside and to say, okay, this is what I've got on my roster, and listen, he's got the guys to throw the ball all over the field. But I think Dave's right, and I said it last week too. We've got these two big tackles, Xavier Chapman and Mason Murphy, that have come in, and I've talked to a ton. Having the national championship kind of this week, I've been able to talk to a lot of guys, and one of the biggest things that they've said to a man is, "Can we run the ball?" And I don't know that they're worried about our running backs, but we lost for all intents and purposes, a 2,000-yard back. If Peyton doesn't pull the ball as much as he did last year and just gives the ball to Jarquez, we have a first-team All-American and maybe knocking on the door of 2,000 yards. So we have a lot of unknown in the backfield. We've got a lot of unknown, like Dave said, up on the line of scrimmage. So get those guys going, but can Hugh Freeze get out of the way and let that just happen? And a lot. Listen, is it from a defensive perspective? A lot of things happen when that happens, and you see that. I hate to use the A word. I'm not going to use it, but you've seen that on the other side of the state. They get running downhill, and people try to stop it, and that's when they go over the top. And then, while David was talking, I was thinking, do we just need a guy that can manage a football game? When Dave said B or B minus, do we just need a guy that can not make mistakes like a McCarron? Or, up until Tua, that's what they had. Blake Sims, the guy from Florida State, whatever, and they won national championships with it. They just had guys that didn't turn the ball over and let their backs run, their wide receivers catch, and they had a heck of a defense. And we've got the Jimmy and Joes to do that. Can we get out of our way as a coaching staff and do it?
And
If we
they
can.
also they probably also had 5 stars across the offensive line and defensive line and
They
probably a
had
better supporting cast than we had.
5 stars in their training room. Their cafeteria workers were 5 stars.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that, when you say that, the thing that pops in my head is, is that Jackson Arnold, or does he have that personality, or is he more a go for it type guy? Because I think of we've talked about this before, but Hugh Freeze saying he was getting a little greedy, maybe on the RPOs in practice, and when I think of last year, I see Jackson Arnold. What happened at Oklahoma, the Tennessee game? He threw 3 interceptions, and that was pretty much it for him there. So, it's going to be interesting to see, Dave. What do we let Jackson Arnold go for in this ball game? How important is it to turn him loose, or do we need to turn him loose here?
Well, you got to kind of get a feel of what he's going to do. Because when you go back last season, I went back to the Alabama game and watched him run all over the defense. I mean, he pretty much won the game with his feet. And so, well, he didn't have the supporting cast, he didn't have the offensive lineman, he didn't have the wide receivers, so he had to do it all on his feet. So I think confidence-wise, that's where he knows his bread and butter is. And now he's got to reaccommodate to, hey, I got an offensive line. Hey, I got receivers. I don't have to take off and run early.
More with Brian Brensfield and Dave Fulford as we continue in just a minute. Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us as we get ready for the Tigers and Baylor.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Visiting with Brian Brensfield and Dave Fulford for a couple more minutes here. And guys, before time gets away, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of games around the country this week. We have Texas and Ohio State playing Saturday, and Alabama visiting Florida State as well. Dave, any thoughts on those two? I guess the two biggest ball games of the weekend outside of Auburn for us.
Yeah, the only problem I have with I've been having this problem all preseason is them the Manning, at Texas,
Arch.
they've got him on top of the mountain, before he's ever played. And, I don't want to be skeptical, but we've never really seen. I mean, he's going against Ohio State. This is not, Mississippi State in the fourth quarter coming in and playing kind of deal. So, and they have him preseason, SEC number one team quarterback. And I'm like, until I see it, I can't jump on the wagon.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't wish him anything bad, but I just hadn't seen it yet. So that's going to be, everybody's going to be watching him, and the pressure on that kid has got to be enormous,
I would think so. Yeah.
And then Florida State and, Alabama, there's always the Gus factor there. Hey, Gus is going to have something tooled up that they're not expecting. He's going to have something. He's going to have a little trick in his bag for
Yeah. He's going to be pointing that finger at the ground, Brian. What do you think?
him. That's right. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I'll just go ahead and say I think Ohio State up in Ohio State will probably beat Texas. Sark has so much trouble in big games, and Ohio State is. I'd like Texas to win, but I think Ohio State will win. I do think Alabama will win. I don't want them to, but I think they will beat Florida State. I'd like to see Gus have some success. I'm interested to see about the LSU Clemson. It's 9 versus 4.
Yeah,
It's a kind of a good game out
that's
there.
another good one.
It's at Clemson. I don't see I see Clemson beating them. LSU's coach just doesn't do much for me, and really never has, especially in opening ball games. And then there's another one, they play on Sunday, Notre Dame against Miami, and two kind of unknowns. They both lost their quarterbacks last year, and I'm gonna go against the grain and probably pick Notre Dame. They're ranked 6th, I think, and Miami 10th, but they're playing in Miami. But I'm gonna take the Fighting Irish on that one.
Those should be two good ones as well. I would think Clemson is playing at home, right? So
They are.
maybe they have a little edge there, and Miami as well. But we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Guys, we're about out of town, but out of time. But appreciate you both joining us on the show tonight, and enjoy the ball game tomorrow as Auburn ventures to Waco, Texas, to open the season at Baylor. War Eagle.
Right. War Eagle. Thank you, Doug.
War Eagle.
So there you have it, the thoughts of Brian Brensfield and Dave Fulford, former teammates at Fairhope High, joining us tonight. And the Auburn Tigers in action in game number one of the 2025 season tomorrow night, Friday night at 7 o'clock is the kickoff. We want to let you know that we will be on the air for the full pregame right here on FM Talk 106.5 starting at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. You can join us for all the pregame festivities and information. We will get you right up to kickoff here, so make your plans to be with us tomorrow afternoon for that. Also want to mention quickly, the Intercollegiate Tennis Association has ranked Auburn senior DJ Bennett as the number one singles player in the nation in the preseason player rankings that released on Tuesday. Bennett becomes the first player in program history to achieve the top ranking there in women's tennis. So the Auburn women's tennis team doing quite well. If you want to keep up with this and other stories all through the week, football, basketball, golf, what have you, WarEagleTV.com is our website, WarEagleTV.com. You can follow us on X and YouTube, and we'll keep you up to date on everything Auburn. That's all the time we have for tonight. Enjoy the ball game, everybody. It's Auburn and Baylor tomorrow night from Waco. And it looks like everything is worked out on TV. We'll see you next week right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.